Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Felicia Grondin, the executive director of the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, on how and why the group allowed other responsible gaming organizations to use the 1-800-GAMBLER hotline on a nationwide basis. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT with its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, which is a hit and performing at over three times house according to the Eilers June report. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity. The Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey is one of the first responsible gaming organizations set up as the gaming spread across the United States. Felicia Grondin was appointed executive director of the agency a year ago after a long career on the regulatory side. She has recently negotiated the use of one of the most unforgettable phone numbers in the business, 1-800-GAMBLER. Along with the National Center for Problem Gambling, CCGNJ, will coordinate the use of the number on a nationwide basis, throwing desperate and troubled gamblers a lifeline just when they need it. She spoke with me via Zoom from the CCGNJ offices in New Jersey in July. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Felicia Grondin, the Executive Director of the Council for Compulsive Gaming in New Jersey. Felicia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here.
So kind of a belated congratulations on becoming the director of the council. I mean, it's a real honor, but it's actually been a year, right? I mean, since you've taken over, you had the acting title for a while until you got appointed permanently.
Yes, it's hard to believe that a year has passed already. It went by very quickly. And thank you for your congratulations.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, it's an important organization. And I'm a little hazy about the beginnings of it. So maybe you can give us a little history of the CCGNJ and when it was formed, and especially how the 1-800-GAMBLER came to be.
Certainly. In 1979 and 1980, a survey was conducted by the New Jersey State Health Commission, indicating that there were approximately 175,000 disordered gamblers in the state of New Jersey, but there wasn't any resources. There weren't any resources for help. In 1982, the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey was established at the behest of the New Jersey Department of Health to be an advocate for the disordered gambler and to work towards societal acceptance that disordered gambling is a treatable illness.
Okay.
The following year, in 1983, the council became a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides information, education, and referral services for people affected by disordered gambling. And in that same year, we established 1-800-GAMBLER, which was the first 24-hour gambling helpline for problem gamblers and those affected by a disordered gambler.
Okay.
The council receives about 19,000 to 20,000 calls yearly.
Okay.
To that number. A few years later, we helped to initiate the first certification of compulsive gambling counselors, which mm-hmm. is certified by the American Compulsive Gambling Counselor Certification Board. In 91, we received our first state appropriation, which is interesting because I worked on that legislation when
okay.
I worked for the Casino Control Commission.
Right.
And I first met Arnie Wexler, mm-hmm. who used to be the executive director of the council.
Of course.
And then in 1988, our website was established, 1-800-GAMBLER.org, which is a really great website since it provides so much educational information and resources about problem gambling. And we receive about 20,000 to 40,000 hits monthly to our website. So we get a lot of traffic.
Sure.
A few years later, 2001, we obtained funding for treatment referral services in New Jersey. So essentially, the council has been helping problem gamblers and their families for nearly 40 years. And our focus is to heighten awareness about problem and disordered gambling and to assist those that are struggling with a gambling problem, whether it be the individual or their family
sure.
Or their family member.
Mm-hmm.
And we also provide professional training and certification opportunities for therapists to help those individuals should they wish to seek counseling. We have a client referral service that we provide. But I should also note that the council is neutral on gambling. We are neither for nor opposed. Mm-hmm. We exist to help those that are struggling with a gambling disorder.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Arnie Wexler. I mean, Arnie is a legend in your business, and he's still a friend of mine. And, he was a real mover and shaker in the early days of New Jersey gambling. And a lot of debt is owed to him because of his style of management, for sure.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because I was 28 years old when I started with the Casino Control Commission, and I was their legislative liaison. And that's how I met Arnie up at the State House. And although there may have been moments where our opinions differed on a variety of topics, we always just maintained a great friendship. And Arnie actually was a mentor for me.
Yeah.
He showed me the ropes at the State House, And we are still friends to this day. And I'm grateful for him and for his effort. And I have very big shoes to fill, given, his involvement in helping to create and establish the council.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And his dedication to this is second to none, really.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how the council is funded and how the money is spent then.
Well, we're funded through donations, but our main source of funding is provided by the New Jersey Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. As I mentioned, our main purpose is to educate and provide assistance to those who are struggling. And we do so through advertising and community outreach.
Okay.
From making presentations at schools and faith-based organizations, government organizations, and a variety of community groups, including seniors and veterans, among many others. And we have a variety of educational materials, as I mentioned earlier, on our website, which we distribute at these meetings so that people are aware. I touched upon our the training of counselors, and we do provide that type of training so that therapists can become more familiar with gambling addiction. And we have a 30-hour virtual training program that is available and free to New Jersey residents for professionals who wish to treat those with a gambling disorder.
Sure.
Then the counselors that complete those trainings, they can become one of our treatment providers. So if we have someone that calls in with an issue and they need treatment, we can refer that individual to one of our treatment providers so that they can, get the help that they need.
Sure. Okay.
We also offer trainings to businesses about responsible gambling and the signs to look for to identify if someone may have a gambling problem. Mm-hmm. We had a training with Caesars not too long ago, training some of their employees. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's our 800 Gambler Helpline that's available 24/7 for those that may be struggling with a problem. And what we do with that helpline is we're here to listen and encourage and provide support and information as well as those gambling those counseling opportunities.
Right.
And as far as how the money is spent, it's determined and identified in our contract with the state, which falls in line with our overall mission. All of those areas are within the parameters of our state contract and the requirements that we are required to fulfill.
Sure. Okay. So you just mentioned you helped Caesars with some training, but how do you interact with all the betting businesses in New Jersey, the racetracks, casinos, lottery, and now sportsbook?
Well, we have representatives from those areas that serve on our board of directors.
Okay.
We have a representative from the lottery, from the casino industry, as well as the Casino Control Commission. And we also host quarterly meetings of a group called the Responsible Gambling Working Group, which is made up of clinicians, the lottery, casino brick and mortar and online, representatives, as well as sportsbook representatives. And the quarterly meeting provides for networking, but it also provides a forum to discuss relevant issues that are occurring in the field of problem and responsible gambling, and share information about legislative initiatives, any legislation that's out there, what the status of that legislation is, and the development of new approaches to address problem gambling and promote responsible play.
Okay.
So it's great that we have this networking opportunity. And I think that the gambling industry realizes the societal impact of gambling and is trying to address these issues. And one such example of that is the New Jersey Lottery is a proponent of ongoing press conferences mm-hmm. And campaigns to one is the Not 18 No Bet right. Campaign, whereas discouraging children from gambling mm-hmm. through, you know, the purchase of lottery tickets,
right.
as well as a gifting program that comes around the holidays that focuses on don't give lottery tickets to your children
sure,
because
right.
or yep. to children because it is a form of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been very, very supportive,
okay.
And we're grateful for that.
Great, great.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, is a hit and performing at over triple versus house, according to Eilers' June report. Both partner themes feature the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity.
So you were a board member of the council before becoming executive director. Did that familiarity with the organization help you when you got started with the job?
It definitely helped, but my position as a board member was quite different than serving as executive
yes, I'm
director.
Sure. Right.
As a board member, I understood the purpose of the council,
right.
but the day-to-day operations are much more intricate and
sure.
complex than I ever realized.
Right.
outside of helping the problem gambler and their loved ones, there are a number of constituencies that require attention. You know, the legislature, the gaming industry, government agencies, national and international associations, the press, the media, among
right.
many others. There's a staff to maintain and support, business and financial operations to address, and the state and our board of directors to which we're accountable.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of details and a lot of moving parts, but I like a challenge
yeah.
and I enjoy all of it.
Right.
I enjoy the diversity of all of it.
Sure.
I'm a lifetime student, I
right.
like to consider myself. So I like a challenge. It keeps me on my toes, and I'm passionate about what
sure.
I do. I love coming to work,
yeah,
and I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah.
But the part that I enjoy the most is knowing that I'm helping people that are struggling, who might be too embarrassed
mm-hmm.
to disclose how they feel,
right.
To those that are close to them, that may feel alone and helpless, who may have hit rock bottom, or they're on their way to hitting rock bottom. Years ago, when I worked for the Casino Control Commission as legislative liaison, my most significant memory was walking across the casino floor and looking at hundreds of people gambling. And my initial and continuing thought whenever I did so was thinking about the people that might lose their shirt that day
mm-hmm.
and the thought of hopelessness and desperation they might feel.
Right.
And it struck me to the core, it really did. It made such a significant impression upon me, and it still does now. So as I mentioned, I'm just so grateful to serve in this capacity. It's just such a wonderful opportunity.
Sure, absolutely. So how has sports betting changed the landscape of problem gambling in New Jersey?
Well, significantly changed the landscape
mm-hmm.
for sure. Since the onset of sports betting in 2018, our calls to our helpline have increased by 141%. So it's been a significant increase in helpline calls. And when we look at the amount of wagers, you know, we do a good amount of analysis
mm-hmm.
to understand the tenor of what is occurring for different forms of gambling. Sports betting wagers in 2019 totaled $4.6 billion. And in 2021, just 2 years later, sports betting wagers totaled almost $11 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw an increase in sports wagers by 136%, which is pretty significant within a few years. But in order to deduct how a particular form of betting is contributing to people with a gambling problem, our barometer at the council is to take a look at the number of our helpline calls
okay.
and sports-related helpline calls. And when we look at the amount of sports betting wagers compared to helpline calls to the council, we definitely see a correlation. The more money that's wagered, the more calls we are receiving from people that are struggling with a gambling problem. But there's also an issue with advertising.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Barron's Magazine reported a significant increase in the cost of gambling television ads. In 2020, gambling television ads totaled $292 million.
Right.
In 2021, the total was $725 million, which was 2.5 times more than the prior year.
Okay.
Significant increase. You know, advertising, as I'm sure you've seen, is everywhere. We're bombarded with ads for free bets and lines of credit. And, you know, I think that the frequency of the advertising, it increases the likelihood for individuals to develop a gambling problem because they're promoting gambling.
You know,
they're encouraging it. And for those that are in recovery, with a gambling problem, it can act as an accelerator to relapse and break their sobriety from gambling.
Sure.
So it's significant. You know, it's so excessive that a colleague of mine at a major radio station in New Jersey stated that that available ads are difficult to come by because there's so many because of this inundation of gambling ads. You know, people have coined it or called it predatory advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a challenge because as a nonprofit, we can't keep up with that degree of advertising.
Sure, right.
It's just impossible. Therefore, I would say that increased gambling access, incessant advertising, an increase in sports wagers, and an increase in helpline calls indicates that sports and online betting has significantly affected the landscape of wagering and has increased the number of those individuals struggling with a gambling problem.
Sure. Okay. So iGaming then is another factor here as well. I mean, it's not just the sports betting, it's the online gambling. Have you seen a big increase in calls due to that addition of that type of gambling?
Yeah, some years ago, we were at about 16% of our helpline mm-hmm. calls were associated with online gambling.
Right.
We're at about 25% at this point in time.
Okay.
So it has increased. And, you know, it's so easy. You know, you just pick up your phone. You can get, you don't have to go anywhere. You
right.
can sit on your couch. You don't even have to go to your computer. You can sit on your couch and you can, you know, potentially lose tens of thousands of dollars within minutes. And it's concerning.
Sure. No
it's
question.
Concerning.
So let's talk about the deal you made with the National Center for Problem Gambling to share the 1-800-GAMBLER number. Can you tell us why that happened and how it's going to work?
Well, there's been a great need to establish National Helpline for some years.
Mm-hmm.
There's been discussion, but, you know, it didn't really go anywhere.
Right.
Different states have different numbers, and it can be very confusing for individuals that are seeking help. So given that 800-GAMBLER is easy to remember,
mm-hmm.
it was thought to be an optimum number to serve as a national number.
Right.
We began discussions with National last fall to use 800-GAMBLER as such, and we recently reached an agreement in early June. And in fact, we are going to be going to National's conference this week in Boston, where we will be making an in-person formal announcement about the 800-GAMBLER going national. So we're just really happy and excited that this for this opportunity and for this next step to make it easier for individuals to find help.
Okay. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of how it works. If somebody from Connecticut, for example, calls into 1-800-GAMBLER, how do they get connected to your line, or do they get connected to the Connecticut Problem Gambling organizations up there?
Yeah, they would be connected to the Connecticut Problem Gambling,
okay.
you know, council or whatever council they would be calling.
Okay.
So they would be in direct contact with their state council
okay.
to assist them.
So do you do that through geolocation or something like that?
It's a little, I think it's more technical than
yeah.
I'm able to explain
yeah.
or
right.
understand
okay.
for that matter.
Uh-huh.
There has a lot of soft transfers going
yeah.
on
okay.
and a lot of programming of these phone lines, which is a little bit over my head to
yeah,
understand,
of course,
quite
right.
frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, there's been a desire for this national number. This seems to be a big step headed in that direction.
Oh, most definitely. You know, a unified, consistent, easy to remember number is definitely, you know, definitely, we're definitely going in the right direction.
Right. Okay, great.
Yes,
so,
for sure.
So how closely do you work with NCPG? I know Keith White very well, and there's other, you know, regional and national problem gambling organizations. Is there a real network there that you all work together?
Definitely. We are in constant communication with National. We are one of their affiliate councils.
Okay.
We have monthly affiliate meetings, monthly helpline meetings to discuss, you know, related issues, hot topics that may be, you know, associated with the issue of problem and gambling and responsible gambling. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be attending their conference in Boston.
Right.
So, yes, we have an ongoing communication with National.
Okay, great. So you also put on your own conference that's coming up in September. Give us a little outline of what that is and how you can register.
Yeah, we will be having our 40th statewide conference on Friday, September the 23rd. It'll be held at the Conference Center at Mercer in West Windsor. Our theme this year is Problem Gambling, Be Informed, Be Empowered. Which embodies the philosophy that through education, we'll be better equipped to make decisions as to how to treat this disorder, how to promote responsible play, or determine whether or not an individual should engage in gambling.
Mm-hmm.
We have some great presentations scheduled. We have Dr. Michelle Malkin from Eastern Carolina University. She's a professional a professor of criminal justice.
Okay.
She's going to be focusing on understanding gambling motivated crime. We'll be having another presentation made by Dr. Vivian Anthony and Jackie Stanmeyer, who are associated with the Rutgers School of Social Work. They're going to be talking about the nuisance of mindfulness, about gambling treatment implications. We have another session about that's related to trauma. Entitled Getting to Current Thinking on Gambling and Trauma by Ken Litwack, who's associated with the John Brooks Recovery Center. And we also are going to have a panel discussion entitled Problem Gambling Voices of Recovery, where four experts will discuss their experiences with problem gambling and recovery. And we're really excited about this year's conference because we haven't had an in-person conference in many years due to COVID.
Right.
It's going to be in person this year, and we're really looking forward to it.
Sure.
And if anyone's interested in registering for the conference or becoming a sponsor or just getting some more information, they should visit our website at 800gambler.org.
Okay, great. So we mentioned at the beginning, you know, you're just completing your first year as executive director. What kind of goals do you have for the organization under your leadership?
Well, I had a good long list. I'm a list person.
Okay.
Well, one was to reorganize staff a bit, mm-hmm. And hire additional staff,
mm-hmm.
To be most efficient. And for the most part, we've accomplished that.
Yeah.
To establish a positive agency culture among staff. I like to work in a happy workplace.
Sure.
I want the people, my colleagues, to work in a happy workplace, and we do have one. We all look forward to coming to work, and everyone is passionate about what they do, which
sure.
makes for such a big difference.
Right.
To strengthen our relationship with the New Jersey legislature and the press, which has been initiated and ongoing, to improve and increase our external communications through webinars, just our general communications and public outreach. To improve our website and increase our exposure, and most importantly, our message. To expand our board of directors, our board has been expanded. We have great representatives, and we're just so excited to be working with them. To increase our advertising, we have a few additional billboards on the New Jersey Turnpike,
okay.
Which is very exciting. And we've also increased our radio advertising and streaming. We just embarked upon a streaming program. And to conduct a prevalence study, which we recently completed, Seton Hall University conducted this study for us, and we're in the process of reviewing those results. So we're really, you know, looking forward to reviewing those results to see how prevalent the issue of and the condition of problem gambling is in our state. And we've really done a lot. We've really accomplished a lot. We still have a lot more to do, but we'll do it. We just have to keep on putting one foot in front of the other and
mm-hmm.
be positive and build and maintain positive relationships and alliances. And we're succeeding.
Great. Well, it's great to catch up. I think you're doing a great job there. You certainly, there's more visibility of the organization across the board. And, you know, I'm really anxious to see what you're going to do in the next couple of years. So Felicia, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. And, you know, let's hope we'll see you sometime in Atlantic City this summer.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope I'm able to get down there. And again, our sincere thanks for providing us with this opportunity. Greatly appreciate it.
Wonderful.
Oh, and I must say, I usually schedule a close with everything.
Okay.
Is, you know, and remember, if you or anyone you know has a gambling problem, please call 800-GAMBLER or visit our website at 800gambler.org. We're here to provide hope, treatment, support, and a listening, compassionate ear. So I encourage anyone that's struggling to please give us a call. That's why we're here, and we're here to help you.
Great. Well, perfect way to wrap it up. Thanks very much, Felicia.
Thank you so much.
Turn off the trouble, I can turn off a light, went off and left me, it just ain't right, well, it's over.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT and its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times versus house according to the Eilers June report. Discover more at igt.com/prosperity. To learn more about problem gambling and the organizations that provide help and research, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.